true.
And that's really what you're saying, right? Like, it's dangerous because then God becomes what we want him to be.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's so easy to just do that because it's comfortable. Like, mm-hmm. if I can just yeah. create a God to be exactly what I want him yeah. to be, then I don't need mm-hmm. to do the things that he calls me to do.
That's
yeah.
right.
You know, like, yeah. if he's like, yeah, yeah like, he's just a that's God right. who loves me, who wants to be with me, yep. he loves spending time with me, then I don't have to be holy.
Yep. Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's just so tough because, like, that's what culture preaches at us today.
Right.
Like, hey,
right.
like, what is God to you? Oh, yeah, that's great. Just run with that and just don't bother yep. anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just so, so dangerous. But I think mm-hmm. God calls us to know him for who he is, not who we've had made him up to be. And that's yeah. so, so, so dangerous.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit, do better. So together we can be a little better.
Welcome to A Little Better Podcast. So glad to be back here. I got a week off last week. Got to listen to Noah, Matt, Callum, kickoff, Written in Stone, week
That's
one.
Great.
Now we're on week two. So do the math. If we have 10 commandments, we have 10 weeks. So week number
here
two here.
Yep.
Luan, so great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You've been here before, but yeah. you haven't been in this chair before.
No, it's the first, it's my first time. It feels weird. I'm a man of patterns. I like that seat right there. It's yeah, great, but this, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So first time up there, crushed it. Just loved, mm-hmm. the word that you brought. So let's see here. Noah's on the couch, as well, mm-hmm. who got to preach last week. So first off, let's do your sermon in 60, and then Sweet. I want to talk a little bit about a few things.
Yeah, of course. So the message is all about this idea that we often create these false images of God in our heads. Mm-hmm. And we place our faith and our trust in those images, but eventually they just let us down, right? And it was just this reminder that, like, man, sometimes we do that because of our family backgrounds or just because of culture or just things that happen to us throughout our lives. But instead, we should really come to know the God who has revealed himself to us in Jesus and through the scripture. So that's what the message is all about.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, if you haven't listened to the message, I mean, that was a whirlwind. I mean, maybe do that in 15 seconds. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that was a whirlwind through an incredible message. So if you haven't heard it, hit pause, go listen to the message and then come back. We'll wait and then hit play again. But so welcome back. listen, summer's a little different for us. So mm-hmm. we're doing Written in Stone. This is the Ten Commandments. So if you're familiar with the rhythms at Northridge, Drew takes a bit of a break mm-hmm. from the teaching schedule mm-hmm. in the summertime. We get to bring, you know, so many people. I love how deep our bench is with just incredible mm-hmm. Teachers, speakers. Luan, this is your first time.
My first time ever.
Doing
yeah.
it.
Come on, shout out.
So, you know, I don't think it'll be your last. I really, thank you so much. And normally we have, like when Drew preaches, we have a sermon writing team,
right.
Jason, myself, Drew, who would I miss?
Miller. Nate Miller.
Nate Miller,
yeah.
Yeah. So four of us writing that. These, you guys are on your own.
We write our own
you
stuff.
Know?
Right?
Yeah. Although, not entirely, right? Because the two of you created, I think the two of you created your own little teaching team,
yeah.
didn't you? Writing team? Didn't you work together on these two messages?
Yeah, because like you said, right, it's my first time ever getting the opportunity to preach, which is awesome. Super thankful. But whenever I found out that I was preaching, which was never really communicated to me, I just found my name through the preaching schedule. I was like, oh man, I'm up. Great. So then Noah came up and was like, hey dude, good luck. And then he's like, no, I'm playing. We can do it together. So then he just kind of like told me all the things that I needed to know about like the process of like writing a sermon, and super thankful. That was so helpful. But yeah, we just got to like sit down and just wrestled through the first and the second commandments mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so Noah just helped me a lot with the message, which is super
helpful.
The
downside there is I think Noah stole
yeah,
a little of your
right.
material from week two.
But it's okay. It happens, you know.
Got it out there in week
okay.
one.
But that was even interesting though, because like that story is just so rich, right? Like
the story being the golden calf.
Yeah.
Right.
Such a rich story. And what I loved about that was that like whenever we both got to that story, we just took completely different routes.
Yeah.
So like uh-huh. you went one direction, I went the other direction. So even though the story is like kind of the same,
uh-huh.
the take that we took was just different.
Uh-huh.
So that kept it fresh, I felt like, mm-hmm. which was super cool.
So. Right. So why don't you talk about how was it working? I don't know if people know, but so you guys are like the dynamic duo here. It's Team Brighton in the house,
right?
Right. You got Brighton Campus Pastor, Brighton Director. Is that the title?
Campus Director, I think.
And Noah, you hired this guy, and then now I guess he's going to become part of your family, you know, pretty soon. So.
That's right.
Can you get rid of me now? Come on.
Yeah, so it comes to me. I think we're, you know, I'm talking to Juan a little bit. I'm like, oh, are you? Really? Okay, all right.
Yep. Just a warning. You know,
he was my intern at that point.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, that wasn't intentional, right? It just happened.
Yeah. So when we say welcome to the family,
yeah, you know, we really mean that. Oh,
man. I love that.
Got some family.
Welcome
here.
On. Welcome to the family. Uh-huh. No, it's been great. I was vying for him to preach. I know it's a gift. It's something that God gave you that, you know, not everybody has. And so I was really excited for him to get a chance to preach and to help out and walk alongside him in it and figure out all the details of it. There's a lot to it and a lot of things, moving parts and pieces that happen ahead of time that you don't always realize. So it's cool to be prepared and ready for it, but thankful for his message and for the way God's used it in our church. And so grateful to be part of all that process. And even without a teaching team, it's kind of fun to make our messages work together well. Yeah. So you don't have a disparate like a week one that's like over here in left field, and then you got week two and it's like in the dugout and you're like, where, what do we do? You know, like these are all. I really enjoyed being able to kind of collaborate a little bit on some of these.
And yeah, we all talk to each other quite a bit. It's very much a team sport, you know, here at Northridge. Now, and the very fact that we have a pre-preach gives us that opportunity to make sure that we're clear, you know, and on the same page. So what are the things, I'm going to get into the second commandment super quick here, but anything new and just your understanding of the Ten Commandments as you came to this, or what's exciting you about the fact that we're doing this series? I mean, are you excited that we're doing this series? I mean, I kind of am. I'm loving, you know, what's coming. But for yourself, any changes in your understanding of the Ten Commandments or why you think it's a great idea for us to teach it to our church?
Yeah, personally, like, I love it. Maybe it's just, like, the nerd in me, but, like, I just like reading through the Ten Commandments, because a lot of times it can become so foreign to us, because, like, you know, a lot of people have that understanding that whatever's in the Old Testament doesn't apply anymore. We just live out whatever it says in the New Testament, which, you know, there's some truth to that for sure. But I think it's important to know that, like, man, the Ten Commandments were really written as a means for God to reveal to his people how they should have a relationship with him. And I think that's significant. Like, if there's something that God would say to his people, like, hey, I love you guys, I want to have a relationship with you, these are the things that you should do so we could have a good relationship, man, like, there's got to be so much power in that. So I love that we as a church are trying to understand how, like, those truths, like, apply to us today as well. So super cool.
Yeah, thank you. It's interesting because, like, there's debate, right? I was even Brad. I asked Brad off camera, you know, Brad, should we still follow the Ten Commandments today? You know, and Brad's like, you know, are you covenantal, dispensational?
Oh, so,
like,
much
what are we doing? You know, like, grace,
right,
and
right.
And he's like, of course, the Bible's full of covenants. You know, I'm 100% covenantal.
Oh yeah, I know. For those, we have people listening with all kinds of backgrounds.
Sure.
You know, some of you might have been to seminary. Some of you are like, what are they talking
about?
What's
going on?
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's just a matter of exposure and what you grew up with. So I did grow up with, for those, it's a dispensational approach to the scriptures. So we just basically chop scriptures up into seven dispensations, and everything is brand new in every dispensation. So right now, all we need to listen to is what Paul wrote to us in his letters, pretty much, you know, because all that other stuff was done away with. I don't believe that's true at all. I believe that the same God, beginning to end, doesn't change. And the moral truth captured, the character of God captured in the Ten Commandments is eternal. It always applies. And we were talking about the fact that there's just one commandment in there that's a little iffy.
Yeah, so I'm preaching on it in 2 weeks.
Oh, you are preaching on it. That's
Sabbath.
Right. All right, we'll save that discussion for later.
Yeah,
so the Sabbath
is,
it's one of these things is not like the other.
That's right.
So Sabbath is a little different, but we'll get to that. Yeah. But otherwise, these truths, I mean, when was it ever right to murder people? You know, when was it ever right to have any other God?
Right.
You know, but God. So,
part of the moral law of God.
Right. And reveals his character.
Sure.
Teaches him. But anyway, I love what you guys, you know, are doing with this. All right, let's get to it. Just in terms of, I loved the fact that you had these, gave three example false images of God.
Yeah.
So, like, week one, Noah, you're telling us, only have one God, make it the right God, right? And then we're like, okay, we're all in. And then Luan's telling us, you might not be worshiping the God you think you are.
Right.
You could be imaging him wrong, misunderstanding him. And he gave us three misunderstandings. They were.
Yeah, well, we had the vending machine God. We had the spiritual high God. and the drill sergeant God. So those are three like very common images of God that people often struggle with and believe in.
I think I've worshipped all three of those.
Yeah, totally.
Different
me too.
In my
See,
life,
I was writing those and I was like, oh man, I got to repent. And like every single time. All right, next point. Oh man, that's me too. All right. Yep. So it was tough, but I felt like that was encouraging, you know, because I was like, man, if I struggle with these, I know that there are a lot of people who also struggle with these, so I should keep them here. So,
right. I thought they covered pretty broad spectrum, but any other like candidates, any other... You're creative, Noah. What images of God have you come up with?
I don't know. I just thought of this one. Maybe the life alert God. You know, you're driving down the highway and those red and blue lights pull up behind you. You're thinking, oh, and the first thing you do, right? Lord, please. Oh, I know. I'm going to get a ticket. I was not, you know, speeding. Was I speeding? Lord, please just let me go. And so you don't need God until it's an emergency.
Yeah. And emergency God. I like that. Bail me out, God.
That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, your life is good. I'm going to be good. You know, go to the gym, go a day, eat my food, whatever. I don't need God to be a part of anything until all of a sudden the check bounces or the lights pop up behind you or the IRS is coming and then, Lord, you know, now I need you. So just, I don't know. Sometimes I've treated God like that.
No, that's a good one.
Another way I've treated God is like a boyfriend God, you know, it's like, he just loves me so much. There's just so much grace and, you know, and I just want to love him back in all these ways. And, but I, you know, have lack some respect for him or his character. And so, you know, it's like,
We used to talk about a worship team at a previous church. We talk about if the lyrics could equally apply to my girlfriend, maybe we don't want to sing.
We don't want that.
When heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss.
Oh man, you had to go there. Huh?
All right, so we can go wherever you want to go. I mean, I'm going to randomly bounce around here. But I do think one thing is, this is the craziest thing. So I'm listening to you and I'm remembering a line from Jesus Christ Superstar, this musical. Now, I'm not recommending Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow.
I've never seen that.
It's an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, really popular on Broadway. Yes, back from the 70s, but it's very skeptical. It has a very naturalistic view of Jesus, very cynical.
Sure.
Judas is almost the hero of it. But Judas has a line, says, if you came to, you know, he's criticizing Jesus, says, if you came today, you could have reached a whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. So it's like, if Jesus came today, what would it be like? I mean, we'd be flooding the Instagram reels, the vlogs, stuff. Yeah. But all we have, and this has got to be the wisdom of God, right? That all we have is he chose to place him, you know, 2,000 years. And all we have really is words and the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a video of Jesus. We don't know how he cut his hair. We don't know what he looked like. What styles, you know.
Yeah. We'll just watch Chosen.
What was his breakfast routine? You know, we don't know, right? Yeah. So it's but if it was today, we would obsess, you know, about all those things. So I am going to get to a question here. So
Let's
here's
go.
The question.
Trusting you.
Because you mentioned in your sermon, like, hey, it's okay to be creative.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, is it? You know, so, or is all creativity, is there good and bad creativity? When do we cross a line? So there's creativity, but when do we start get into danger or trouble? When's there a false image? So I think about things like, you know, Chronicles of Narnia, and we've got Aslan. That's clearly Jesus, but isn't C.S. Lewis imaging Jesus? What about The Chosen? We got a guy walking around telling jokes. It's like, ooh, I don't know. Is that, should we be imaging Jesus? So I don't know. Is that worth talking about? What do you guys think about the role of images?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think it's something I address in the message, right? At least I try to, right? Because like the command is pretty simple. It just says you shall not create for yourself any images. So if you just read it at face value, you're like, okay, so we just shouldn't create anything and that's it.
Right. Be very minimalist, just words only.
And I don't think that that's the case because, you know, like there are some people who are so creative. Like Noah, he comes up with ideas like on the spot, which is what he does. Like there's so many people who paint or make music or, you know, do graphic or interior design. Like, and that's good. I think God wires people a certain way to be creative and we should use the gifts that God has given us. But I think the distinction there is really the idea of what we worship, right? Because a lot of times we create these things in within this context, we're talking about like idols and like images that represented something. Like we create these things, and the problem is when those things that we create become gods for us. Mm. When instead of just using those things or appreciating those things, like I can look at a painting and it's a beautiful painting. And that's fine. It's a created thing and it's beautiful. But if that painting now becomes the object of my worship, that's the problem. So mm-hmm. I think what God is saying here, you know, based on some studies and like some things I've been wrestling with, is just that like, man, it's okay to create things. But if that thing becomes a God in your life, if mm-hmm. that now becomes what you worship, what you give your time to, what you give your attention to, what you give your money into, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really what God is addressing here. I don't know. What do you think, Noah?
Yeah, it's interesting because a couple chapters later, God actually calls his people to make a snake, to make an image, right. and to put it up on a pole so they can save a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And later on, the Israelites end up, we hear people end up worshiping that snake, obviously, and turning it into a god, and you know the kings right. will see it get torn down and thrown away. But it's interesting that God is like, don't make an image. No, actually make this image, you know? And so I don't think that the command is really, don't create the Sistine Chapel, you know, like right. it. Or right. don't create an, you mm-hmm. know, an image of, because mm-hmm. Obviously the Protestant movement, you know, comes along and it says Catholic icons are now bad, you know, right. get rid of all of them, right? Get rid mm-hmm. of Jesus hanging on the cross. And so we'll say, oh, I never like to have, my grandpa used to always say, don't like to see Jesus on the cross because he's not on the cross anymore, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm never going to see right. like a crucifix with Jesus' body on it. Mm-hmm. And so I think people have these different like yeah. beliefs and things that they've kind of carried with them traditionally. Mm-hmm. And the Protestant movement is like, all right, no crosses, no, you know, golden, whatever. We're just going to be minimalist. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep it stripped back. Right. But I think the command is more about, yeah, what you worship and where your heart goes with it. Right. The people making a snake wasn't the problem. The people bowing down and worshiping that snake was actually the problem
sure.
that happened. Right. And so if God's snake was used to deliver so many people from, you know, their pain, their suffering, their agony, and then it went on to be, you know, a God, the problem wasn't that God's snake was used for good. It was that people turned it into mm-hmm. a God.
Yeah.
And so if there's things then in your life, your image of God begins to change and you begin to put something else in his place or think differently or have different expectations. One of my parts I loved about your message is that it's a God that you could control. Mm-hmm. And so instead of trying to understand who God is really, and by reading Hebrews or going to look at the perfect image of Jesus, and mm-hmm. you know, that's how you can tell a counterfeit dollar bill is by studying the real thing.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to see the real thing, go look at Hebrews and see who Jesus is and really line that up with these other versions of boyfriend God, emergency God, you know, bodyguard right. God, all these gods.
Right.
But you know, if you really want to see the real thing, look at Jesus. And that if the way you could control a snake is you can see it, it's physical, right. you know what to expect. So you make up these expectations mm-hmm. that when I get in trouble, God's going to bail me out.
Right.
That if I follow all these rules, that God's going to give me what I want. I punch C3 because I did my tithe, did my time. Mm-hmm. Then I get what God promises me. Mm-hmm. And so you make up this view in your mind of this expectation tree for mm-hmm. who God is, and then you right. begin to worship that instead of the true God. And oftentimes it's easier to do that because right. those are things we can control. There's things we can count on. And in my message, I say it's an illusion of control.
Right. right.
You know, we think that we can avoid pain. We think that we can be comfortable by you know, having control over the gods that we worship. And eventually they actually mm-hmm. end up controlling us, right? right? That snake that we thought we could control eventually right. could end up controlling us.
Yeah.
And another danger right. that I would throw out there, and maybe you guys could talk more about this, think more about this, is what about if you end up worshiping like other deities like Buddha or, you know, you're mm-hmm. worshiping other
See, now you're pulling
religions.
It back to week one.
yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying other like religious figures.
Sure.
have mm-hmm. other, you know, idols, really.
Sure.
Or like we were in Africa where you have witch doctors and they have mm-hmm. Gods that are actually, you know, and maybe you're worshiping a demon or maybe you're worshiping, like, you don't know what always is right. behind mm-hmm. some of the other. I don't know, thoughts on that?
No, what I loved about, you know, again, it shows up in that story of the snake. I love that. The issue of, well, you mentioned control. So in some ways, well, there's a healthy use of images because one thing I was looking at was the Bible does image God. So sure. there's helpful ways, because God gets himself described as a consuming fire or a storm, or he is our rock, or he's our fortress, or a shepherd, or a mother hen gathering the chicks, or the potter who shapes the clay, or, you know, John is just thick with them with like living water, bread of life. I am the vine, you are the branch. Those are all images.
Sure.
So these images are helpful.
Sure.
But I think a couple of things show up. One is, you know, you mentioned control, where it's just like, wait a minute, God, you're not playing your part. I punch C3. I'm supposed to get a girlfriend. You know, this machine. And our prayers become spells, right? Yeah. It's like, here, if I say these words right, this is what God has to do, you know, for me.
Here's what God's going to do for you.
So that issue of control, it's always, you know, we step in, you know, are we submitting to him or are we trying to control him? And the other thing is limitation. I think it just limits our understanding, right? Like we say, oh, this is who God is. I've now defined him. No, he's certainly far bigger than every one of these scriptural images. He's more than a consuming fire. Yeah. He's more than a vine. He's more than a mother hen. Those are all helpful, you know, views. But once we start to say limit God, now I understand God. Now I get God, I think is a big danger.
And that's really what you're saying, right? Like it's dangerous because then God becomes what we want him to be. You know, and it's so easy to just do that because it's comfortable. Like if I can just create a God to be exactly what I want him to be, then I don't need to do the things that he calls me to do.
That's right.
You know, like if he's like, like he's just a God who loves me, who wants to be with me. Yep. He loves spending time with me. Then I don't have to be holy.
Yep. Right.
You know what I mean? So like, it's just so tough because like, that's what culture preaches at us today.
Right.
Like, hey, like what is God to you? Oh yeah, that's great. Just run with that and just don't bother anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just so, so dangerous. But I think God calls us to know him for who he is, not who we've had made him up to be. And that's so, so, so dangerous. And yeah, I agree. Like we're never going to fully know God because God is infinite, right? And even like Paul says in Romans, like, oh man, like the depths and the riches of the knowledge of God, like who can fathom, like, we're not going to until we see him in eternity and still then, like he's infinite. Right. So we're going to spend forever trying to figure out who he is. Mm-hmm. But when we try to put him in a box that we've created, I think we miss it, you know?
Oftentimes, I actually think people walk away from faith because of that.
Yeah.
Because they made a version of God in Sunday school that doesn't stand up to the philosophy class in college.
Yeah.
And so they learned about Santa and Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy and Jesus.
Yeah,
you know, and then someday someone says Easter Bunny's not real, Tooth Fairy's not real, Santa's not real, Jesus not real either. Mm-hmm. And some of the questions that, you know, our Sunday school answers, we have all these things. Oh yeah, just trust God and just believe with all your heart, you know, and that's how, and you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to college and your questions and friends are asking you and you're trying to figure out what your faith means to you. It's not your parents' faith anymore and you're a long ways from home and church is hard to get to and you end up saying, you know what, I don't know that I believe, you know, I you know, I'm skeptical about these things, this truth and who God is to me was this loving father figure, this, I had this version of God in my mind who would help me when I needed him, but he's kind of a crutch for me now and I don't really want to need that crutch anymore. And so they end up saying, rejecting God because they had a version of God that wasn't the true God.
Right.
And so instead of finding the true God and worshiping him, they end up rejecting this false image of God they made for. So a lot of my friends, I think, walk away from faith, not because, you know, they didn't have loving parents who taught them the Bible or didn't have like grow up in Christian homes. They didn't have church and have friends or community. It's because they believed and they had a structure of who God was in their mind that wasn't real. It was false. It was like worshiping an image instead of worshiping true God.
Yeah. And it's so dangerous. But even like thinking through all of that, like I still consider that to be grace. Like the fact that God would allow us to get to a point where those false images that we create, you know, just are completely shattered. Like we come to that point where God is no longer what we expected him to be, or he's not doing what we thought he would. Like that's God's grace because it gives him the opportunity to be like, hey, I'm not like that.
Yeah, right.
Here's what I'm like. Like, here's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like really heartbreaking. Like, you know, in the sermon, I share my own story. Like, it's heartbreaking. Like, you come to that point, like, God, I thought you were going to do this. Yep. I thought you were like this, but you're not. Like, what the heck?
Right.
And God is like, yeah, that's true. This is what I'm like. Like, here's who I am. And it's like heartbreaking, but also so comforting that like there's grace in it. Like God uses all those things to show us who he is and like bring us into a deeper relationship with him. So
yeah. Yeah. I love that. I mean, only in the sense of, you know, I have the heartbreak of a couple of adult children who are far from God, but do I say they walked away from the faith, or do I say they walked away from a false image? Because there's the hope, you know, and there may be the grace in the journey is to have false idols destroyed, false images destroyed. Of course, now we're praying that the light of the true God falls on their path and they see him. But,
and even thinking of that, like what comes to mind is like Paul, right? Like when he writes, I was given grace because I acted in ignorance. He didn't know who God was. He was a believer in the God of the Bible, and I mean, he was killing people left and right.
Better. He knew the Ten Commandments better than any of us.
He was killing people left and right, and like, you know, doing things for the sake of the name of God, and he was still acting in ignorance. Like, he didn't know the heart of God, right? And I think,
I was the best of the Pharisees. I was the chief of sinners. It's like, you can't even be you can't even be better than me at being bad.
Apparently, whatever like, he does, he needs to be the best, whether it's the best Pharisee or the best sinner.
He does both.
I was truly bad. I was worse than you'll ever be, man.
You got nothing on me.
That's so funny.
Listen, this has been an incredible conversation. I love it. Let's bring the plane home with this, which is, Luan, what encouragement might you have for someone who feels let down by the God they thought they knew?
Yeah, sure. I think it's twofold, really. One is, man, I've been there. Like, I feel like all of us can testify to that. Like, we all, like, believe in an image of God that's simply not accurate. Like, it's just the reality of the sinful world. Like, we are sinful. Like, we have desires, we have things that we want, we have things that we need, and we oftentimes create a God that just meets all those needs and wants that we have within ourselves, and that's okay. Like, we have that, you know, like, I've been there, and it's okay. Like, it's okay to come to that point when you realize that, man, this is not who God is. But on the flip side of things,
good for you.
Right, it's great. And that's the thing, on the flip side of things, like, man, what an amazing opportunity. Like, what an incredible opportunity to get to know God for who he is. Not the one that your parents have told you about, or the one that your friends have, you know, like, revealed to you, or the one that culture paints out. But, man, like, God, like, for who he is, as revealed in Jesus, as revealed in the scriptures, like, that God. And I guess my encouragement is just that, like, man, get to know him, because, like, he wanted to be known by us, right? Like, he sent Jesus to die for us so we could get to know him. So, like, man, what an opportunity. It's just like, God, you know, like, I've been believing in this image of you, and it's not accurate, but, like, would you please just, like, show me who you are? And, like, I know, like, that was the case for me. Like, man, he wants to be known, and he's going to reveal himself to you. So, yeah, and even, like, a good application step for my message is, like, man, go read Hebrews. It's a great book. I love Hebrews. It talks about all, like, all about who Jesus is. So, yeah, that's my encouragement. Like, it's okay. Like, don't feel defeated or beat up because you've believed the false image of God, but see that as grace, as an opportunity to know God for who he is. So,
thanks so much. Really appreciate that. I'm being ministered to by these messages. So encouraged. You can find, if you're listening to this the week of the message, I want that info will get you to study guide for the book of Hebrews, but, or just read the book of Hebrews. That's the most important thing. Let's see the real Jesus. All right. Next week, if you do the math, you know that we're on commandment number 3. You can look it up yourself. We'll be back here for the next 8 weeks, and it's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, it's great.
See you then.
Peace.